Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu rasulullah, wa ala alihi wa sabbihi ajma'in, ashadu la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu al muhammadin abduhu rasulullah ma'bad. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting almost live today, all the way from here in Santa. Not Santa Claus, Santa Clara. That's Santa Clara, California. This is your host, Yusuf Estes, and for the next little bit, we're going to be talking on the subject of something in Islam called Dawah. What is Dawah? Dawah, of course, being an Arabic word, we're going to have to give some translation to the meaning. The meaning of it in the English language, is usually invite. To invite. One who invites is a da'i. For Islam, he calls the people or invites them to Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كنتن خيرا أمتن أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. This is in Surah Al Imran. I'm looking it up right now while I'm talking to you. Yes. It says, you are the true believers in monotheistic belief and the real followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his legal ways. As such, you are the best people ever raised up for mankind because you enjoin al-ma'ruf, which is monotheism in everything that Islam has ordained. You forbid al-munkar, which is polytheism, disbelief, and all that Islam forbids. And you believe in Allah. And had the people of the scripture, the Jews and Christians before us, believed, it would have been better for them. Among them are some that have faith, but most of them are al-fasikun. Now, if anybody here knows the Arabic language, immediately you should be asking me, where'd you get all that stuff, man? Because it doesn't say that in the Arabic. Well, the Arabic, if I go word by word in the Arabic, kuntin khayran umatin ukhrijat linnas, that's just simply saying that you're the best people of mankind because ta'murun bil maruf, you call to al maruf, watan anan munkar, which is to forbid that which is munkar, watu'minun billah, and you believe in Allah. So where did you get all this stuff about monotheism and following Muhammad? And I didn't hear the word Muhammad in there, did you? So where did you get that from? Well, this is what's called explanation or tafsir of the Quran. And that is available to us through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is preserved and we know what he said verses mean. It is not permissible for a human being to interpret the words of the Quran to suit themselves without any kind of evidence to support their particular argument or opinion. And before we talk about the da'wah to a non-Muslim, we should begin by inviting ourselves, da'wah, to the real Islam. Because if you said, well, look, you know what, we're here in beautiful sunny California, and what we want to do, we want to have a big group, you know, and get together on Saturday mornings and drink coffee, eat donuts, and go out in the street in the afternoon, pass out some flyers, give away some bumper stickers, do a car wash, wave at the people, and, you know, tell them Islam is nice, and then that's da'wah. And I've been in communities where they think that's da'wah. I've been in communities where they ask me to come and give a talk about da'wah, then they hand me a paper and say, read this, it's on the paper. I say, really? Why did you ask me to come and talk about da'wah and you already think you know all the answers? Duh. I can't imagine somebody going to a brain surgeon and asking them to come and give a talk about something and say, oh, by the way, read this, we made this up, we thought it sounded good, you know. Alhamdulillah, we don't have that problem here, but I've seen that before. So what I want to emphasize here is, whatever your idea of the da'wah has been up to now, at least let's open up our mind and think a little bit to understand what works. Now, I don't know who is giving the most shahadas in the United States and don't really care, because it's only Allah that really gives the shahadas to the people anyway. It's not me. But I just happen to have been present in front of hundreds of thousands of people that have done this. Now, what they did with their Islam afterwards, I also don't know, and that's also up to Allah. But I did my job. Online, we have a website called Islam Yesterday. If you go to their website, go to the videos where it says 135 people make Shahada, you can watch with your own eyes as a group much bigger than this, non-Muslims and Muslims together at a university. And when I ask them at the end to stand up and do the Shahada, only 10 or 15 people did not stand up. All the rest of them, we estimated about 135 by the numbers, you know. Could be more. But the rest of them stood up. And if you listen to what we were saying, you'll understand why. Because we didn't try to make this a complicated procedure. I want you to stop and think about this. What are we really calling to? You say you want to invite the people. What are you really calling them to? What are you inviting them to? You? Your jama'ah? Your madhhab? Your group? Your sheikh? What are you inviting the people to? Your manhaj, your methodology, what you think is the right thing? What are you supposed to be calling the people to? Huh? Allah. It's only one word. You're calling the people to Allah. How do we get to Allah? Through Islam. The only reason you're inviting to Islam is because that's the only way to get to Allah. Everybody with me? Islam, we're treating it as a verb in this case, not as a noun. Noun, it means, like for instance, a person, place, or thing. If you're calling Islam a noun, then you mean it's the religion of Muslims by name. But the actual meaning in Islam is to do what? It has a meaning. To do something. To surrender, submit, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And exactly calling the people to Islam, and this is not something small, has rules and regs. You can't play with this. You can't come up with your own version of it and think it's going to work. It's a specific, exact science. Very simple, but it's still exact science. And if you try to play with it and change the settings on it,
well, you know, we live in America, man, so we're going to do this and that.
You change it, it's not going to work. Even if you see a lot of people, I know some group of brothers on the East Coast, they decided to play with it a little bit. They said, La ilaha illallah simply means Allah is God. It's not the right meaning, but that's what they said. Allah is God. So they would walk in the street and say, you know, in Arabic, when Christians and Jews want to say God in their Bible, Arabs, Christian and Jew Arabs, it says the word Allah. And we can show you, we can prove it. You see? Do you agree that that word is Allah? Yeah. Do you bear witness that Allah is God? Yes. Alhamdulillah, another shahada. Next. It's a little fine tuning. Got another shahada though, brother. Then they go back to Saudi Arabia. These same brothers, American brothers. But they go to Saudi Arabia and tell them, oh, we're giving shahadas in the streets like crazy. It's the fastest growing religion. Didn't raise money from them. SubhanAllah. So what were they really calling to? And stop and think. Because any time you turn this into a money-making proposition, you're already in trouble. Did anybody pay money to get in here today? Was this free? Huh? Because if it's not, I'm walking out the door. You think I'm joking, don't you? People from Texas don't joke about two things. Two things we don't joke about. One of them is money. And the other one is, you're either with us yeah. Yes, sir. We're proud of the Bush, baby. You know, a bush baby in Australia is something bad, you know? It's a mean animal. Strange, isn't it? When we start telling people that we're going to have a Dawah program, we've got a Dawah project, we've got a Dawah committee, we've got a Dawah team, we've got a Dawah program that's set up on a certain way, we've got XYZ Islamic organization that's got their own Dawah thing set up, I wonder, where did we get that from? And how long before we're going to offer a PhD in Dawah of Islam? Don't laugh. That is something you can do in universities in other countries. That's a part of some of the degree work that they're offering. That don't look like Starbucks. I tell you what, if you have water, it's really good because I need that to keep this lubricated. Huh? Alhamdulillah. I want to know, really, where did we get this from? Where did we get this idea that we can just make up something and it's going to work? And then if it doesn't work, instead of saying, gee, I made a mistake, we say, well, you know what? Let's try to change what the end result is. Because that's what will happen. Just like the one that I gave you the example of. So I'm going to go back one more time and ask you again, what are we calling the people to? The idea is to call people, as Allah said in the Quran, to Allah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في صوم كفة ولا You know what? I can't read this. I got something right on the middle of the screen here and I can't see it. وَلَا تَتَبِيُ I think it says خُتُوَةٍ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوَةٍ مُبِينٍ I think that's what it says. I didn't memorize the ayah yet. I got the English right in front of me, but I prefer to give the Arabic. O you who believe, enter into Islam perfectly. Don't follow the footsteps of the shaitan. He's your declared enemy. Now, I want to ask you a question. And this is really simple. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to have a degree in Islam. Just a simple thing to think about. We as Muslims know one part of the story that the Jews and Christians have lost. The story we know, it's not a big deal, but it's something to know this. What happened to Shaitan was he actually was a worshiper of Allah, wasn't he? Wasn't he elevated up with the angels at one time? Although not an angel, he was a jinn and he had free will. That's the only way he could have disobeyed Allah to start with. But he was a good worshiper of Allah. He wasn't trying to be against the law. He was pretty proud of himself. In fact, that was his big problem, wasn't it? So when Allah created Adam and he ordered all creation, Allah said, all creation, I made my best creation, bow down to Adam because of him being the best of what I've made. And they all bowed down. Illa Iblis. Except for Iblis. Then Allah tells Iblis, you didn't bow down, so you're going to go to hell. And Iblis doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, astaghfirullah, excuse me, let me, you know, do that real quick before I... No, he gave an argument. He said, I'm better than him. I'm made from a smokeless fire. And him, he's made out of this disgusting dirt, man. I'm giving you Texas translation of the meaning. So he doesn't want to bow down because he considers him better than him, right? This is the point. Now, look what he says to Allah. He's not making partners with Allah in the sense that he's worshiping a stick, a rock, a stone, a bone, or a tree. What he's doing is not obeying Allah. He's what? Asi. disobedient to Allah. He was a believer in Allah, but he's asi. And this is something all of us should fear big time. Don't play with this deen. Because you can be out of it just like that and think you're still in it. He said, Allah, let me take, I'm going to show you. He's not appreciative to you. He's not who you think. I'm going to take him and his children, all of them, to hell with me. And Allah said, you can do it. Go ahead. All of them except who? Except those who come to amanu wa amilu salihat. Except for those who come to the correct belief in Allah and do the deeds of righteousness. Otherwise, they're going to fry right along with him. Is that true or false? That doesn't scare you? You just said, oh, I'm a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, I can do what I want to do. Scary, man. For me, it's very scary. What was the order from Allah? Do this. And he didn't do it. What was the order from Allah for Adam, alayhi salam? Don't do something. What? Don't eat the fruit. Now, I'm sorry. But as a human being, thinking about fruit, and I've got all the Jannah in front of me, what's the problem? Why would Allah get so bent out of shape? Sorry, this is, like I said, you're just talking to non-Muslims now. Remember, I'm giving you examples through what I'm saying. But why get so upset? Because the guy ate some fruit. This makes them think, because they all know this story just like we do. This part they know. So what is it that Allah is upset with him about? Was that private stash that he had set aside for himself? Allah doesn't eat. So what was it about the fruit? Was there something in the fruit that could hurt Adam? If that was the case and Allah didn't want it there, he just wouldn't have made a tree. So what was it about the fruit? Because Allah is going to make it alluring to him. Allah is going to make the temptation to him. He's even going to let the devil come to him and tempt him and go ahead, eat the fruit, man. You're going to do good with that. And then what? Eventually, no matter 500 years, 5 million years, 50 jillion, I don't know what a jillion is, but 50 jillion years, eventually, one day, Adam is going to do what? Eat the fruit. This is a no-brainer. You know, if something like in those stories of the mystery in an old house, and somebody's in this house and they're locked up, it's a storm outside, they can't go. They said you can go anywhere in the house except don't go to that room at the top of the stairs. Don't go there. This is what the whole story is about. It's not about the house, it's not about the rain, it's about that room, isn't it? So eventually, somewhere in the story, the person's going to have to go in the room. I mean, that's a given. And it's the same thing here. And Allah said, don't eat that fruit. Allah knew he's going to eat the fruit. So what's the point? And a lot of people miss the point. If Allah knows you're going to do something wrong, and then just punish you for that, you'd say, wow, that's not very fair. Atheists do that. I have a son who's an atheist. And I've heard him talk like that. I've learned a lot from him about how atheists look at it. And it makes it easier for me to give dawah to listen to the nonsense that he says. Because he doesn't get the point. The point of the fruit, the point of the order, the commandment of Allah, was not that Allah is trying to protect his fruit from Adam. Or protect Adam from the fruit. It's to show you what to do after you've made a sin. What do you do afterwards? What did Iblis do afterwards? He blamed Allah. He said, Allah, you made me like this. It's the qadr of Allah. I can't help it. This is how you made me. That's one of the things he did. That's some of the things that we do today, isn't it? Isn't it? Haven't you heard people say, well, Allah made it that way. Qadr Allah, mashallah. Whoa. True, but what was your play in the deal? Qadr Allah, mashallah. And then you're going to just escape from it? You're not going to admit to the what? La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. What? I'm the one that did wrongdoing here. You never blame Allah for what went wrong. Iblis refused to accept that he's responsible for his actions. He blames Allah because everything's in the qadr of Allah. True. It's true. But Allah caused the qadr because He knew what your niyyah was, your intention. Yes or no? So if you understood what I just said, then come back and look again at the situation of the two stories. The devil do this and he didn't do it. And then how he confronts the problem by saying, I blame you, Allah. And I blame Adam. And I blame this whole situation. You made him this way. You made me so and so. Blah, blah, blah. He's not going to accept it. He won't accept the responsibility. But Adam alayhi salam did accept the responsibility, as did his zawj, as did Hawa or Eve. Both of them made what? Tawbah. Did they make tawbah? They repented. That's the salvation of Islam. That's the salvation of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. You go out in the life knowing what rules are. If you don't know, obviously you don't pay for those. I mean, that's a given. If I don't know something's wrong and I did it, how could you blame me? And then Allah doesn't. La yukallifuhu nafsun illa wusaha, la hamma kasabat wa alayha ma iktasabat. He doesn't make anybody carry a burden for anybody else. Doesn't task anybody for more than they can handle. So He's not going to lay something like that on you, tell you later, oh yeah, well you stepped on green grass and that's one of my laws I never did tell you about. We wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that. But it's real clear, and you go out and you know, don't do this and do that. But when you made the mistake, what do you do? And if you're really sincerely honest, you realize it's your fault and you go to Allah and you say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Astaghfirullah. Please forgive me, Allah. Anta ghafur rahim. You're the forgiver, you're the merciful. If you did it, then you're what? You're doing what Adam did. Two parts of the story are lost in the Israeliyat, in the stories from Israel. You don't have the story of what happened before, the correct story with Iblis, and the correct story after. But they have some other stories that are similar. I have a whole library of Apocrypha of the Bible, things which are hidden from the public, telling very close to what we have, but still not the right story. But point is, Iblis does not make Tawbah and Adam does. The only thing here now that really elevates Adam up above everything now is the fact that he did something the angels can't do because they don't make any mistake. They can't make Tawbah. But the jinn could. Iblis could and he didn't. However, there's some jinn who do make Tawbah and they are Muslims. They are. Now, what we understand from this simple story, what do we understand from it? Is that we're to call the people to the correct belief that there really is a God who's going to hold us accountable for what we do. Christians already have the concept. This is not a big deal. You're just filling in the blanks. Once they understand so many times, just like myself, I'm no exception to that rule. When a person, even somebody that's a preacher for Christianity, well, they hear this and they go, wait a minute, that fills in the blanks. I didn't know that. Do we have anybody with us today, by the way, that used to be Christian? Please raise your hand just for a second. Listen, let me see. Well, how many? One? Only? Do we have any here that are not Muslim yet? I was hoping you'd bring some this morning because I love to watch what happens when we do that. Even in a da'wah program like this, they stand up and make shahada. Alhamdulillah. Now, what we're supposed to be calling the people to is not the Islamic Center of Santa Clara, California. No. And we're not supposed to be calling them to the Hanafi Madhab. We're not even supposed to be calling them to the Shiite or the Sufi, or the Sunni, or whatever particular group. No. The call is to call them to Allah. And the only thing that Allah mentions in Quran is Islam. He said, "In adina in the lahil Islam." The only, for sure, the only thing Allah is accepting is Islam. Meaning the submission to Allah on His terms. The surrender to Allah's commandments and doing what Allah wants him to do. Understanding that along the way you're going to break the law, but knowing what to do about it, and that actually is the best part of being a Muslim, is to understand. That's what you were created to do, to know right from wrong, and then when you make mistakes, to repent. Some commandments are don't, and some commandments are do. The first commandment in the Old Testament is don't. The first commandment in Islam is don't. What's the first word in the Shahada? La. Is that yes or no? So that's a don't, isn't it? Excuse me, but that's negative, right? And the same thing in the Old Testament, in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, where the Ten Commandments appear, it says, thou shalt not have any other gods beside me. Is that right? La ilaha illallah. We agree. It happened yesterday. A lady who I was hoping she'd be here today, come up to the stage right here after I was talking, and she said, I heard you say something today, it just snapped in my mind. She said, it finally made sense. You quoted from the Bible when you said, thou shalt not have any other partners beside me. And I also had quoted out of the Bible in the New Testament when they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, it's to know, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And you have to worship him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. So you got to give everything to Allah. That's what it says in their book. Do we have a problem with that statement? I don't. That's in, by you want to write it down, right? Mark, M-A-R-K, 12:29. That's the second gospel. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. This is in Mark, chapter 12, verse 29. Know, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And you have to worship him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Now, doesn't that confirm the same thing we're saying? What's the problem? Now, I want to share with you something, and I want you to think about it. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let me be one of those people that has literally seen thousands of people do shahada. I have watched it many times, and I cry every time, by the way. I love it. In prisons, military, churches. Can you imagine giving shahada in a church? And in one case, I give shahada to a woman in the church during Sunday morning in front of the congregation. And she turned to the pastor and she said, well, what do you think? He said, if you're happy with it, go ahead. She said, thank you, Daddy. It was her own father. I said, they'll never invite me back. I was wrong. They invited me back three to 6 months later. I went back there again. But I didn't bring them this idea of, you know, how long is your izar? How long is your miswak? How big is your beard? What color is your hijab? I didn't get into that stuff. In fact, somebody asked me a question yesterday about some issue over here in your community. And I said, look, that's a fiqh issue. That's what you have an imam for. You don't ask me that. That's not my job, even if I know the answer. By the way, usually I'm wrong. Okay, just so you know. But what my job is to call myself, my family, and my close relatives, and my community to what? And Allah said it in the Quran. O you who believe, save yourself and your family from a fire that is fuel is what? Men and stones. That's your job. That's not an option. For the benefit of those who try to decide, well, do I want to join this Dawah club or not? I don't know. I'm busy on Sunday morning. No, it's not an option. This is not an option. Now, I'm not saying you have to be in here every Saturday morning, but I'm saying you've got to be active in Dawah. And if you don't know about it, it's good to be together with some people that do, obviously. You don't have to reinvent the wheel and make the same mistakes. Even though I have, alhamdulillah, traveled around the world, that's a blessing from Allah. I've seen a lot of people enter Islam. I've seen every kind of condition. But I see something new every day. I think I already know everything about every possibility for people making shahada, and then I see another one. I'm on the airplane at 2 o'clock in the morning flying from Mumbai, which used to be Bombay, to Bangalore. The guy sitting next to me is the banker, the president of the bank in Bangalore. He's a Hindu when we left the ground. When we landed, he's saying to me, "Sheikh, there's no God to worship except Allah. And I want to take you wherever you want to go today. What do you need? I've canceled my meeting. I just want to be sure you're okay." I said, "The brothers will be here. They'll wait." He said, "Just in case, I'll stand right here with you until they come." And he did. Wallahi. But I think one of the funniest cases, I don't know, they're all funny, but I mean happy, you know. One of the happiest cases was when they tried to make me do a debate. I hate that. I think that's so facetious. Why do I, as a Muslim, want to debate with a Christian about the Bible? Who in this room right here does not believe in the Bible? Anybody here doesn't believe in the Bible? Raise your hand. Huh? Well, see? So now why would I want to debate about that? That's really dumb. If you say, well, the version they have today, well, excuse me, I'm going to ask you another question then. How many of you heard of Yusuf Ali's translation of the Quran? You heard of it? How many of you think it's really the Quran? Duh. What if they want to debate with you about that? This is not an issue, is it? All you're going to do when you play that game is what? You're going to build up your own ego, trash their religion, at the expense of trashing Islam in the world. And that's why we're where we are today. We've taken the wrong approach for dawah for the past 30 years. Now, there's one thing that we've done that's pretty good. When Dr. Maurice Bukhari got involved about 30 years ago in Islam, how many of you heard of him? His book, The Bible, Quran, and Science. He took a better approach by showing what is Islam, what is the Quran, and then he trashed the Bible. Still not, you know, but he wasn't a biblical person, really. He was a scientist, he was a surgeon, he was a doctor, lecturer, an expert. Alhamdulillah, he became Muslim. But they wanted me to do a debate anyway, and I always said I wouldn't do it because I know what happened in that famous debate. Everybody knows about it. The one that everybody copies on the video and thinks it's dawah when they give it out. They don't realize the Christians sell that to each other for $25 a piece. I forgot the name of the ministry. Something ministry. It's an outreach ministry in San Antonio, Texas that influences the prisons there. Trinity Ministries, that's the name of it. I found one of their pamphlets stuck in a copy machine one time, and it's advertising this Ahmadinejad and Jimmy Swaggart debate, and another debate with Jamal Bedawi and Sharush, and another debate, and another, and another, and another, and that's all they have about Islam is these debates. And I thought, oh, this is positive. Wow, they like, and that's when I snapped. That was 10 years ago. I snapped right then. I said, something's wrong. And I went to give them their pamphlet. I said, this was jammed in the copy machine. The guy grabbed it out of my hand and gave me a dirty look. I couldn't figure it until I went home and I played the tape. Everybody has one. So I played mine all the way through from beginning to end, recorded it by hand, transcribed it, and read it. And I said, oh my God, now I understand why this will never work. The Muslims were sitting there going, yeah, yeah, trash the Christians. And the Christians are going, oh, Jimmy, save us from, you know, and at the end, he made up a weird thing. He talked about that he had a dream or he heard a voice of God and that he should go and tell those little Muslims that Jesus loves them. Just come on. And the people didn't hear what Ahmadinejad is saying. They heard what Jimmy Swaggart's saying. And the Muslims did the same thing. Because we're not going to listen to Jimmy Swaggart. And by the same token, they're not going to listen to Ahmadinejad. So what did we have? We had two communities that got further apart. Yes or no? You want another proof? You can't go. make application to go to Singapore, tell them you'd like to come over there for dawah and join their Islamic dawah committee. They have one. It's the New Converts to Islam organization or something like that. You can't get in. You can't get the visa. Not in the last 6 years, 7 years now, because of that debate they did over there. Go into Australia. In fact, we're scheduled to go to Australia in 2 months. Or is it three? We'll be over there for approximately 2 or 3 weeks. And I said, for sure, guys, I'm not going to play with that. And then I came to find out another American is going in right after me, and he wants to debate everybody over there and make a big deal out of it. And I know these guys who do these debate things. I know them personally. It's an ego trip and a half. Hey, I'm a star. Look at me. I'm defending Islam. Everybody supports me. They give me money. Oh, did you hear that key word again? Huh? How smart do you have to be to figure out there's something wrong with people charging for Islam? How smart do you have to be? Which prophet set up a booth outside of his tabernacle, temple, church, or mosque and said, here we go, 50% off today. Just step right up and go on in and worship God. You need to have it presented to you in a real preposterous manner like that for you to wake up. $200, sign up for our Deen Intensive, Fiqh Intensive, Dawah Intensive, Money Intensive, program for this weekend. And I've heard that. That's ridiculous. What do you need the money for? Did the Prophet ﷺ charge any money? Isa alayhi salam drove the people out of the temple for charging money, yes or no? It's what the book says. I don't know. It's what the book says. If you want to play with your deen, don't invite me to it. I don't need that. I spent 48 years with the people that have been playing with their deen for 2,000 years. I don't want to be a part of that anymore. And if you don't like it, I'll leave. Simple as that. And I'm not joking about that. Where's the... Oh, here it is. Anybody mad at me? Good. I'm not mad at you. This is something very serious, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam. This is not a joke. This is the second most important thing after getting to Islam is to knowing what to do about it. And it is, even before Salah, it is a very crucial matter is to know what this is about. When I give Shahada to the people, I do not ask them to establish Salah immediately. I know that's the next thing, but not immediately. And now I'm going to come to the hadith that I've been leading up to. You didn't know I was leading up to a hadith. But I'm setting the stage for a beautiful hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How many of you heard these hadiths? A lot of hadiths, they start out, Ya Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh. You heard these hadiths? Yeah. Who is this Mu'adh? Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He was very close to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he was young. And he grew up around the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He grew in Islam around the Prophet ﷺ. He knew deen, yes or no? When Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him to Yemen, he made the most famous statement about dawah, and this is something, alhamdulillah, I hope we all take to the grave with us. Never forget it. He said, I'm sending you to a land of the Christians. Listen real close. Who are the people that are all around us? Christians. This isn't India, right? He said, I'm sending you to a land of the Christians. Teach them Tawheed. Tawheed. What is Tawheed? It comes from the word Wahid. Wahid means one, monotheism. Teach them that God is one, not three. Once you've done that, once they've established that in their mind, then what do you do? If they accept that, and that's what he said, if when they accept La ilaha illallah, then teach them Salawatul Khams. Then teach them about the prayer. And if they accept that, then teach them about the zakah. It comes in stages. But the first and most important stage is what? What? Tawheed. And so that's why we have to spend time on that. I'm looking at this thing here and I'm saying, well, this is a good idea. You got some good points. But these are points that you already have lined out for what you want to do, so I'm going to let you do them. I'm going to tell you what I know about this da'wah. When I'm talking to people about Tawheed, even Muslims, I go to the questions that I know invariably they're going to run across somewhere in their life. Is there a God? Yes or no? They go, yeah. Well, if there's a God, how will you deal with the questions that the atheists will bring up to you? And we're going to come back to that in the next part of our program coming right up here on Islam tomorrow. So stay tuned for more at islamtomorrow.com. Our website's open 24 hours a day and plenty of free parking.